everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I am JP. That guy is Nick. Nick, how are you?
I'm awesome, man. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a little bit cold in the studio, so hence the beanie. But, you know, here in Oregon, as you know, they thought it was spring, and then fake spring rolled around. Now we're back into fourth winter, but soon we're going to have spring.
So, I know. I was wearing tank tops and shorts on the car lot last week, and this week it's hoodies and long pants and undershirts, and it's like, man, this is ridiculous.
It's Oregon, man. Today on the show, very special guest. We're super stoked to have him on. TV star, movie star, you may recognize him from such films as That Thing You Do, and one of my faves, the Showtime TV series Ray Donovan. Welcome to the show, Jonathan Scheck. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, and I swear our weather sounds like your weather. It changes every day.
We have a buddy that,
and then it was 78 degrees.
We have a good buddy that just moved to Nashville, and he's like, dude, it's just like Oregon. It's like hot and sunny, then it's like all of a sudden 4 inches of snow. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, but I think they swap smoky summers for tornadoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, no one told me that. I moved here. It was like 4 months later, we had a serious tornado hit. Whoa.
Was that the first time?
No one told me about tornadoes.
Was that the first time you experienced such a thing?
Yeah.
How was that? I mean.
Well, you know, it didn't hit outside, but it was in East Nashville, which, you know, isn't really that close, but it's close enough. But the phone, like the warning systems that are set up to, like, the whole world just went ape shit. You know, like, my phone was blown up because everyone was texting me. The weather service was letting me know there's warnings and tornadoes in the area. And just, it was just like, I was like, oh my God, what do you do? You know, you don't know if it's here or there. Like,
right. Wow. Craziness.
Crazy. Oh,
so listen to this. There's a dad moment. So my wife comes running into my room because I have to get up with my son. So sometimes I sleep in this other room. So she comes running in the room. She's like, we got to get downstairs. There's a tornado warning, tornado warning, which means it's touchdown.
Right.
I'm like, what? so we get my 8-year-old son and my wife, and we grab the dog and we go downstairs and we're in the basement. And then I go, where's Lily? Our 1-year-old. She's like, oh, we forgot Lily. Run back
out there. Nick has that. Like, oh, Nick has that problem all the time. He has so many kids, he forgets them all the time.
I have 6 kids. About, gosh, like 12 years ago, I'm shopping at Walmart with 3 of them, right? And the baby at the time, I load the 2 bigger kids in the car, get ready to go. I left the baby in the shopping cart right next to the car. I'm pulling out, and this old lady's like pounding on my car. Hey, your kid's in the cart. I'm like, oh my God, no.
So that's the dad fail. Now,
yeah,
we got a little bit ahead of ourselves here, Jonathan. The normal first question I have for you, it's a rite of passage here on Dadcast. You've already answered it in the short amount of time we've had already, but I'm going to ask it anyway for the sake of continuity. Are you a dad?
I am a dad. I have an 8-year-old boy and a 1.5-year-old little girl.
So that is, you're kind of trending on the same way that I have. My first, I have 3 kids. I have a 17-year-old stepdaughter who's going on 30, an 11-year-old son and an 8-year-old girl. So my youngest is my little girl. Ain't it a trip, man? This whole thing being a dad.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's lost for words. Let's take you back, Jonathan. It was 9 years. How old you said your son was? 8?
He's 8.
So let's take you back about 9 years ago. It was a fateful day, and the lady came up to you and let you know a bit of news. You're going to be a dad.
Oh, wow.
How was that day? Can you recap the emotions? Any good stories behind it?
You know, before that, we had lost, she had told me that she was pregnant, and then she told me that she came running in the room, she was crying, and that was really a painful moment to know that spirit wasn't going to be there.
Right.
And then, so when she told me the next time, I was just kind of like, I just wanted her to be okay, you know, I just wanted everything to be all right, and waiting 1 month, after the next, day by day, just waiting for the little guy to come and make sure everything was okay. So that's what happened. So I don't remember that, but I do remember this. When my little girl was, I was making a movie in Blue Ridge, North Carolina. And it was a moment in life where I let everything go out in Hollywood. I decided that I was going to move to Nashville, Tennessee. I was going to let my reps go, everyone go, and just start over. Mm-hmm. And I gave up all the things that didn't serve me. And I said, you know, what is this I'm supposed to do as a creator or an actor? And one of my dear friends said, you got to meet this producer. And he sent me to this producer, and his name was Gary Wheeler. And he said, hey, you know, I got this role in this movie called Blue Ridge. It's about a guy who leaves California to go to a small town to become a sheriff and to be closer to his family. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Right.
So I'm there. In Blue Ridge. I'm filming. My wife travels with my little boy, and I'm on the set in my little beautiful place that I was staying while we were filming. And she came in, and she was so weird. And I was like, what is wrong with you? And she goes, I'm pregnant. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, of course you are. Right. That's why you're acting so weird.
Right.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Were and you? So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My character had a little girl in the piece. So it was a little girl.
There wasn't much acting for you then, apparently, in this role.
Yeah. You know, life imitates art, right?
Yeah.
That's what was awesome.
Were you in the rooms nearby when the wife gave birth? And how was that experience for you?
I was holding her.
Yeah.
I was holding her. So we had Lily Joe in our guest room during the pandemic because we couldn't go to the hospital and me be there with the mother-in-law. And the mother-in-law was going to be there no matter what. Right. So I was in the room because we had the baby with a midwife and a doula. And I was holding, the doula goes, you know, you're going to have to focus your breathing and push because you're going to run out of energy to my wife. And she's like, the time is now. And we got like in like, you know, it's like a workout regimen. I was like holding her up right. And she's pushing and right there. And they when my little girl came out, she went into a pool of water and they lifted her up and they started treating her. But my wife was bleeding and, They literally took the little girl and they said, take your shirt off. And I took my shirt off and she put my little Lily Joe right here by my heart. And I just held her. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Something to behold. It was kind of
it was in the world. Yeah.
A same book. For my youngest, my lady gave birth. It was water birth. So she was in a glorified giant hot tub. And I, for lack of a better way to put it, caught my daughter. And I was the first person, but and it was all underwater. So I catch her and I bring her underwater and then up and out and onto mom's chest. And that's when, you know, she took her first breath. But yeah, just whew, it's amazing and emotional. And like, it even gives me the heebie-jeebies right now just talking about it. That is,
we had my youngest in the midst of COVID also. And like your mother-in-law wanted to be there and we decided I was going to be there. So we set up the iPad and she was up on the nightstand in the hospital on the iPad. She's down in the parking lot watching the entire thing from her car in the parking lot on an iPad.
Wow.
So thank God for technology. And,
yeah, you know,
and yeah.
Yeah. COVID just kind of ruined everything, but we made the most of it and it was very cool. So.
Does your boy, who's now eight, I'm assuming getting close to that 9-year-old mark, is he aware that dad is a big deal in the world of TV and movies yet, or is that not quite there yet?
You know, he's aware. People stop me for that thing you do daily. You know,
right.
They're all like, man, you know, can I just take a picture with you? And he's like, what? Why'd they want to take a picture with you? I'm like, well, I did this movie. They love this movie. Everywhere I go, they'll love this movie for 25 years. And he goes, well, you know, so that makes you famous. And I was like, well, I don't know if it necessarily, it definitely, there's a component of being famous to it, but it's, it's who your dad is, who I've been for 30 years of my life. So.
Yeah. Don't worry. As soon as the teen years start coming in, and take it from a guy who knows I'm, of course, I'm not on the level of famous that Mr. Jonathan Scheck is, but within a 40 square mile radius of where I live, I'm pretty popular. Okay. Worked in a local radio here for like 20 years.
Had a great radio voice.
No, thank you, man. Appreciate that. It doesn't matter where we go. In fact, the other night we went to Five Guys Burgers, me and my son. And on the way in, someone, oh, JP, man, good to see you, man, blah, 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 blah. And then sat down on our way out. Another person recognized and said hello. And my son just looks at me and goes, what's the deal, Dad? I'm like, I told you, your papa's famous, 40 square miles. But yeah, he's going to take advantage of this in a few years. Believe me.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, oh, yeah. Hey, Dad, you know, can you, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, a possible girlfriend. You know, 15, 16 year old son, I need some dad. You got to help me out. You know, can you, you got to call up Brad Pitt or something, you know, to prove to the lady that, you know, it's going to happen. They will be taken advantage of. So just be forewarned.
When I was on Legends of Tomorrow, Grant, who plays Flash, he called my son and left him a message.
Oh, it's so cool.
In the uniform.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, hey, Camden, his Flash uniform. It was awesome. I was like, oh my God.
Dad, see, it's sometimes kind of took
it like, yeah, that's Flash saying hi to me. Yeah,
cool. Who's taking it easy then? All right, yeah, that's good.
Nick. Yeah, my oldest son is 22. He's in the military, and he was on leave a while back. And we had I do concert promotions on the side, so I have a lot of famous musician friends. We had Granger Smith in town, and he's dating this girl. He's like, hey, Dad, she's really into country music. Do you think he can set up something with Granger for us? And I'm like, sure. Why not? So, yeah, they do take advantage. But it's awesome. It's so cool to see the expression on their face and just like, yeah. just the love of, hey, thanks, Dad.
Where's your son stationed right now?
He's in Texas. He's actually down in Southern California in training right now. But his base is in Texas.
Is he what division?
Army.
Yeah, awesome. I grew up on an Army base, Aberdeen Proving Ground.
Okay.
Yeah, my grandfather was in the military. My father was a Baltimore City cop.
Oh, very cool.
I don't know how I didn't end up being one of the others.
I'm so proud of him. He was like going down a bad path, and I'm like, dude, you got to get your shit together. You got to figure out this is where, you know, you're going to go one way, you're going to end up dead or in jail, or you're going to go this way and things are going to be good. And he chose the right way, which is awesome. And a lot of that was, we were actually talking to Jason Michael Carroll, and it was a conversation he had with Jason and kind of changed his path. So.
God, that's good.
Yeah, it was cool. We told Jason that exact story, and it's really cool to see. And I know, you know, celebrities, man, most of y'all are just like us, man. You just got a very, very out there job that everyone is aware of. And he was so humbled that I thought that was really cool. You know, I like the fact when, you know, a celebrity is still down to earth and really cool to anyone and everyone. Speaking of which, when did Jonathan Scheck, I loved referring to you in the third person, even though I'm looking right at you. When did acting become something that you realized that's what I'm going to do and I want to do and pursue it?
So I was at college at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, which is UMBC. Mm-hmm. I had a real hard time with textbooks, like the big thick textbooks that you would have to go buy. Mm-hmm. Remember those days? So yeah. I had to buy these textbooks that I couldn't read. I literally couldn't comprehend or retain anything. And my roommate at the time was from Africa. His third language was English. And I was like, do you have a problem reading this book? Because it's like, it feels like it's like the words are jumping all over the place. And he was like, no. He's like, no, he reads it off. And I'm like, I just can't see it like that. I don't see it like that. So I think it was my sophomore year, I took one acting class, and I had never taken any acting classes before that. And I took that one class, and I just thought to myself, I felt I could do this. I was like, this I'm really good at. I'm really good at connecting to other people. And I was an artist. I was a painter. that was what I really focused on throughout school. And I could see that I could craft and be creative as an actor, like right away. And then I got this great opportunity to go out to California, and within 2 weeks of being in California, this guy came over to me. He had a long, he had like a little goatee. He had a bandana on, earrings all around down his ears. He had a robe on, colorful robe, and he was speaking in an Australian accent. And he goes, "Excuse me," and I was sitting there eating breakfast. He's like, "Excuse me, are you a model?" And I was like, "No, but I could be," right? You know. And he's like, "Well, I'd like to take you to this modeling agency, Wilhelmina," and I was like, "I know who they are. Yeah, I'd love to meet them." And so he took me there, and the agents, Mary and Terry, literally from the day I walked in, they were like, "Yeah, you could totally do this." And I was like, "Well, I really want to be an actor." And they were like, "We can set you up to acting classes." And so I went to about 8 different classes, but this one teacher named Roy London was, he was off charts with passion, and acting is the art of living. And he really was, a beacon of that. So I was lit. I studied with him nonstop. I studied with Michelle Pfeiffer, Gina Davis, Brad Pitt. It was the group that was in that class before me, like the graduating class that I witnessed and watched. It was magic. And, you know, they weren't famous by that at that point. And watching that all happen, that's what just I studied until I was ready to graduated from college. Like I studied that hard, and I made enough money from the modeling to be able to pay for everything. And I remember going in the bank and depositing all my money and just having all that money in there. And that was what I lived off of and worked really hard, because I knew I was really great. I was really grateful for that opportunity to have that money to be able to pursue my dream. And I just recently went to a Richard Marx concert. Remember, you know, He had this one song that haunted me at the age of 17 years old. And it just was about life was out there waiting for you. And it was really about love. But it was, for me, it was like this, there's more than just being from this town. And I had to get out there and find it. So I pursued it. I had the courage to do that.
And you nailed it, man. Good. Yeah. Now,
I am 52 years old. I'm still trying to make.
It's got to keep going, doing it, and get it. But you know, I perused your IMDb page, which sometimes, and your Wikipedia page. It looks like you still got stuff going on. There's stuff in pre-production, post-production.
Oh yeah,
good stuff. Now, so you're kind of like me and Nick, where we skew on the older end of being fathers for the first time, right? How did you, you know, when your younger years was, fatherhood, was that something you aspired to? Didn't really think much about it. Heck no. And it just happened. How did this come to be?
Well, my first wife, and I didn't work out, and I thought I was going to have a family with her.
Right.
And so it took me a long time to heal my broken heart. And everyone in between my wife that I'm with now and my first wife, it was like I was so broken. I couldn't see straight, so I couldn't build a family from that. And I was lucky to not have a child here or there. So,
right. Yeah. Same with me. In my particular case, I thought I was shooting blanks. There was never... there was never a scare. There was plenty of opportunity for a scare, but it just never happened. And then I'm 36 years old. Day after my birthday, the lady comes down the stairs, says I'm pregnant. And I says, "Who are you sleeping with?" And it turns out they work, and we're good to go. But I'm glad it worked out that way for me, because we got all that young out of the way, all that young men trouble, you know, all the stupidness, which we never really escaped from. But
exactly.
Where it is, but in a better place in the head and financially and everything when I was older. So, you know, I'll take that Pepsi challenge to any of my friends who say, you know, now I'm 40, 50 and my kids are, you know, adults and they're out of the house and now I can party. It's like, I did that before. This is way better personally.
Yeah. That's me.
There you go.
I'd much rather be home with my little guy and my wife instead of at the bar. I guess just so much more fulfilling.
I'm guessing you two also have something in common. That would be a lot of working out.
So yeah,
I just got back from the gym.
I went at 3 a.m. So.
Oh my God. Did you really? Yeah.
Every day.
So I try to get up at 2:30, hit the gym about 3, get home around 4:30. I don't want to miss out on family time. And I don't go after work. As soon as work's over, I go home, hang out with family and kind of prioritize my day.
He sacrifices sleep instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the sleep is going to keep you, get the muscles growing. You know.
I know. Well, I get like 2 hours of the best sleep of my life between 4:30 and 6:30. So it's like,
yeah,
work my ass off in the gym and I'm like, all right, I'm real tired. So get home and get 2 hours of the best sleep of my life. I feel great. It's just kind of one of those things where you did a lot of reading on like Mark Wahlberg, The Rock. And it's like, you know, their whole thing is get up early, hit the gym first, go about your day.
And yeah, I take my son to the bus at 7:20, and then I go straight to the gym. Except today, since he didn't have school, I get to go a little later. And I got to tell you, it was awesome. I was more up. I don't know how to say. I was like, I went longer and got more reps in and felt great. Nice. Yeah.
Is everyone moving to Nashville?
Yes.
It certainly feels that way.
Probably should too. Like we have a huge event in Nashville in July that. If you're around July 8th, we'd love you to come out.
That'd be my awesome. Gosh. You know what? This episode, I will make sure we don't drop it until after stuff's been announced. So we can tell you.
We can announce it now. It's fine.
Okay.
We have to be very vague.
So how far are you?
We're doing a live dadcast at Johnny Cash's ranch with Orange County Choppers. So it's a thing for veterans. We're working with very closely with Save Home Front. Which helps veterans reenter life after the military.
Right.
So they have a chopper called Americana that Orange County Choppers built for them that will have on display somebody from Orange County Choppers, possibly one of the main guys will be at the event. Jason Michael Carroll will be singing. We have our good buddy Jesse Lawson will come out and be singing. We have a couple of actors. I can't say who they are yet, but they will be there. We have 500 people in attendance, and we're also streaming it on an app that should go out all over the world.
Where's Johnny Cash's place?
Somewhere in Nashville.
Yeah. It's close. I've
never
man.
Been there, so I have no idea. You've
never been there. Okay.
No.
It's going to be great. Nashville.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, we'd love for you to come out if you're around. We'll.
Yeah. No pressure. No pressure. But it's going to be fun.
I'll be there.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun. Yes, awesome. Sir. All right, back on track. You know, I love promoting within promoting, which is good stuff. And by the way, since I just said promoting, we might as well drop the fact. Thank you very much to Great Notion Brewing. Get the app, go to our website, dadcast.co, scan the QR code, get yourself 10% off with the code DADCAST10. Did I get that right, Nick?
You did, and it ships directly to your door ice cold. That's the great thing about it. You can order it. It comes ice cold beer to your door.
Mm-hmm. Are you a drinker at all, Jonathan?
I haven't drank for 9 years.
Okay. All right. I don't drink that much these days either, but all of a sudden we got partnered up with this brewing company out of Portland. And I'll tell you what, I'm thinking I might start drinking beer again. I don't know. It's that good.
it was a lot more of their just kind of who they are as a company and what they believe in and that drew us to them. So it's very artsy. They have one of the main guys that creates all the skateboards for Sector 9, Tony Hawk. Oh, cool. He does all their artwork for their cans. So it's a very cool partnership that we have, and it's just more of the quality of who they are.
And that was your extended Great Notion Brewing promotion. All right. So, Jonathan, if you – and I'm normally I ask this question later, Nick, so I'm not going to ask it during the Fast Five. By the way, did you put together a Fast Five?
Of course I did.
Of course you did. All right. If you were to offer any or one bit of advice to any new father or father to be expected, what would that be?
Oh, one piece of advice.
It could be 10 pieces, you know, but
your child is a perfect reflection of you. And so you need to know that they're going to absorb everything that you're doing. So make sure that whatever is in there is reflecting to that child. Make sure it's pure, clear as kind.
There you have it. That doesn't get much more deep than that. And absolutely 100% correct. So Nick, we tend to, and hopefully this goes, we'll split out into more questions, but Nick, we do a segment called the Fast Five, where he asks you five random questions. They're not, you know, anything super deep, unless he got deep today. And I want to do that right now. Nick, let's do this.
Yeah, I didn't get that deep. So, okay. We're good. What's your favorite food to cook for your kids?
Well, they just love French fries.
Okay.
I know.
So, yeah.
French fries. I love cooking, doing French fries. But then again, they eat my salmon and my chicken that I make. And
right. I'm going to say, you're a pretty fit guy. You know, when I told my lady that you were going to come on the show today, she immediately did her little search. And this is a funny story. Sorry, Nick. See, this is what happens. This just happened. And I'm curious. I said there's no way that would offend him. But let's find out. She says, oh, my God, I know who that is. You're having Ellen's beard on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, that's not going to offend him. That's
how did you know that?
My lady, you ask her to research something, and man, she can find the stuff that you don't even know. She came out. She's like, I love that guy. He's great. So she says hi, by the way.
Well, that's cool that she said that, and she, because that's like a, you know, like that's not something that people, a lot of people know.
Yeah, well, it's out there, man. It's on the internets.
Yeah, you know, that was. I'm very honored that I was Alan's beard.
Yeah, there you go. See, I'm going to tell her that. I knew that wouldn't be offended. I knew that was a good story. All right, Nick, I am sorry. Carry on.
If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
What's the name of that beer company?
Great Notion.
Great Notion.
Great Notion for you guys. If I would have a billboard, it would be, I mean, when I have a billboard, it would probably say, God grant me the serenity, accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Awesome. And now we will no longer discuss alcohol one bit.
No, okay. You know, I was given, I'll show you this. I was given this by my parents when I came out to California. So That's the prayer right there, the serenity. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I know that it is the, you know, the AA, prayer, but it's just the greatest prayer. It's simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the billboard question, I got to just tell you, when we first started Dadcast, like one episode in, I bought a billboard in Medford, Oregon on a street, on a road that has, I think like 100,000 cars a day or whatever, that said Dadcast, the number one parenting podcast in the world, with our pictures on it.
That's awesome.
We had one episode in.
We had one episode, and I think we had 1,000 social media followers at the time.
Yeah. So
it led to, we have about 500,000 now. So it worked out.
It did.
We are the top 1.5% in the world now.
Yeah. But
I want that billboard back.
Okay.
I think we should resurrect it.
We should. Yeah. But we should have Jonathan in the middle doing like this or pointing at both of us or doing one of those
things. I was on the number one parenting podcast in the world.
Yeah.
With those two dipshits.
What's that over there? You know, it's.
Yeah, exactly.
Speak for yourself, right, man.
What's your favorite character that you've ever played?
Well, I played, you know, the whole experience making that thing you do was top to bottom the best.
Okay.
One thing I learned about myself, I'm like a reflection. I'm a shapeshifter. So when I got the opportunity, I knew that I was going to meet Tom Hanks. I wrote in my journal. And so when I read that script and he had wrote it,
right,
I was just like, wow, this is like, you know, this is my opportunity to really shine. And I went in there and won that role by singing, I quit. Pretending there was what do you call that? Microphone? That was hanging from the ceiling. I tapped it because I knew it was 1964. And I tapped it. And then I swear, Tom was just like, oh, what's going on? And I sang it because everyone else probably just said, I quit and left. But I sang I quit. And as soon as I did that, I can't even tell you, like, I just was a reflection of him. Like, what he wanted, the courage that he expected from this character.
Right.
And that was it. You know, that was... So playing Jimmy and having his direction, his reflection was just unbelievable.
That's awesome. That's that thing you do is like in my top five of all time favorite movies. And I actually had the, I was lucky enough to meet Adam, the guy that wrote the music for it, twice. Yeah. So I met him, I saw him like 15 years ago with Fountains of Wayne. And then he was on a solo tour doing a storytelling thing with Art from Everclear and Max from Eve Six, and got to hang out with him. And it was like so cool. And then he passed away recently. And so
in the beginning,
one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Yeah. So Tom and Rita get COVID. That, you know, when that happened, I was just like, man, wait a minute. Why would they? So if Tom and Rita would say that they had COVID, I was like, this is scary. What's going to happen? Yeah. And that was in the very beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Adam.
Yeah.
Passed away from COVID. So
yeah.
I was like, whoa, what's going to happen next? And, you know, we all went into this craziness of
the yeah.
world getting sick and dying. And it was real for me because of Adam.
Have you lived in Nashville now for this whole COVID?
Yeah.
How did, I'm sorry, Nick, I'm interrupting you again with That's my good. Own question. since we're on the topic and it shifted that, actually before that, I got to throw it out there. Any chance you could give Tom a call for us? I mean, we'd love to have him on the show. Just saying.
Let's see what he says.
Holy crap! Are you serious? Oh my god! I thought if he's going to call Tom Hanks right now on the show.
He's making a movie in Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, you know,
his wife does come here a lot because she's a musician now, and she's a singer songwriter.
Yeah, she actually comes to Jacksonville, Oregon, all the time, almost every summer, and plays at Brit festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So.
So how was COVID for you and your family in the beginnings and that whole year of 2020 and also the community and where you live? How was it in that neck of the woods?
Well, I have like 3 acres and, you know, it's funny, but like I was so new, like if my neighbors were outside, you walk up to them, you stand distance from them, you're like, hey, that's bullshitting. And then you start realizing like because I have kids, if there was a possibility that I got it because of my kids going to school and stuff, you know, the older gentleman that I adore that lives next door to me, like, I don't want to get him sick.
Yeah.
Well, if my kids were sniffling, I wouldn't go outside, you know, but I had a little baby. So I literally had this little baby. That's all we had. It was a blessing that all I did was stay home with this incredible gift and just take care of my family. And try to get the porch done.
That doesn't sound too terrible at all. Nick, sorry, man. He got more.
Oh, no, it's all good. Yeah. So, okay. What's your proudest dad moment?
Wow. I mean, they're endless, aren't they? They one day after the next. my little boy, he's 8. And I don't know why, but he likes football.
Well, good. And
he plays in this 7-on-7 league. They really don't know what they're doing at all. But I was coaching and I was watching him and he got the handoff. He came around the side. He stopped. All the kids were running. He jigged and crossed. He looked like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, buddy. Like,
oh, he ran for a touchdown. I was like, wow. Like that can be taught. So I was proud of him for that, man. That's
awesome. But yeah, no, you're right, dude. It's every day. It's like, holy crap. They do something that blows your mind and you're like, what?
Does that make you a Baltimore fan of all sports teams?
I am.
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize for the week one of last year. That was what a game, man. I'm a Raider fan. And it was the first game in Vegas.
Every game with the Ravens is like that,
though. Yeah, it is.
It's like, you gotta be a Ravens fan. Like you have like, it's just anxiety driven.
Well,
like just win the game in the third quarter for one.
You should try being a Raider fan for the last 20 years.
Hey, you guys want to be
curious. You want to talk about anxiety and stress and heartbreak and all of those adjectives.
They keep leaving you. They keep training, going to different cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we're good now, though. We're setting a good foundation.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Nick, got any more?
All right. Last question. The funniest parenting fail that you had.
I told you guys in the beginning when the tornado hit, we ran downstairs. I was like, oh, I gotta get my daughter in the crib. Oh my God. Bad.
Wow. Yeah. All right. I'm going to add a couple. If you could act beside any actor, living or dead, in any type of project that you have not already done so, who would it be?
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, I never got to work with Charlize.
Okay.
I think I need to work with Charlize. And then Anthony Hopkins, if I ever get the chance to work opposite him, Denzel Washington. Yeah.
Some great actors. Another question. Who is right? Chris Rock or Will Smith?
What a mess.
Right? I know.
I'm still torn. I still think it was fake.
It's not fake.
No, it's not fake. Will not... gone from the Academy for 10 and getting canceled. I don't think that's fake, Nick.
I am not anyone to judge anyone. I have failed miserably in my life, done some horrible things. And I feel so bad for him to make that choice.
Yeah.
He probably didn't make that choice all that often. It's like he's caught up in this moment of believing that that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I hope that people realize that, you know, we can make mistakes and come back from them.
Yeah.
And I hope he does too. Cause I mean, until that moment in time, can you pinpoint anything that that man has ever done that would be overly controversial or negative or be shown in a bad light? I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I can't either. You know, I was on the cover of Vanity Fair with him in 96. Like the leading men to watch.
Uh-huh.
So I was right there. It was like we posed together for that, you know, photograph. And it was interesting, but it was Matthew Modine, Leonardo DiCaprio. I know Benicio del Toro is on there. And then it was Steven Dorff, who lives up the street from me here in Leaper's Fork. And it was me and David Arquette and then Will Smith and then Skeet Ulrich. So David Arquette and Steven Dorff live literally, I can't walk there, but I could walk there. It wouldn't take me but an hour.
So those, just throwing it out there, those are two other dudes I'd love to have on the
podcast. Just give them all a call for us there, Jonathan.
Well, Steven's not a dad, but David is. And David's kid, Charlie, is on my Little League team.
And David Arquette's a huge wrestling fan, too.
Yeah. I just watched the most recent Scream. I was like, oh, my God. He killed it.
He's awesome, man. Are you a fan of the of Star Wars at all, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what do we got to do to get you on one of these Disney Plus series that has anything to do with Star Wars? Because, man, I would love to see you in something like that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, wait, did you call your agent up and say, hey, psst, hey, I want to throw a seat out, you know, make a feeler call. How does that work?
I don't have an agent in this moment, but I do have a great manager. But I was sitting across from a very big agent, big Hollywood agent. And he asked me this question. He goes, okay, Jonathan, well, what do you want? And I go, I want to be Batman. And he goes, you're too old. Because they were casting the younger Batman at that time.
Right.
I thought that was great, man. I just thought that was the greatest.
Well, you got to be close to the same age as Pedro Pascal, right? Who just did The Mandalorian. Would have been a perfect Mandalorian. Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah, I would have transferred from being the bounty hunter Jonah Hex to the Mandalorian. I love that stuff, man. And now that I have kids, like, I'd give up my time to go do something like that.
You know what's crazy? We actually do know somebody that works for Disney Plus. I don't know.
An actual,
he's our agent.
He's an actual agent for Disney Plus. So, you know.
I'm never on any of those guys' radars, and I never.
That's so crazy.
Let's put them on the radar. You know what? We're gonna put them on the radar. And if something, all we ask is if you ever end up in anything Star Wars related, what do I want? I want a signed lightsaber. That's it. I'll even provide the lightsaber.
If I fight with a lightsaber, oh my God, are you kidding me?
That right?
Oh my God.
Oh, that would be absolutely amazing. Okay, man, gosh, Star Wars. Okay. See, what did I tell you about going off the rails here, Jonathan?
Yeah.
It was like the first 10 minutes, dad, kids, and here we are talking about Star Wars.
Hey, man, you know, it goes right back to Joseph Campbell and Hero's Journey. That's what Star Wars is all about for me.
Yeah.
It's about Will's journey.
Yep. I'm sorry, Nick. Was that all the questions?
That was it on the Fast Five. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what's in store for Mr. Jonathan Scheck here in the immediate future? What projects you got going on? And can you include your kids on those?
I wish I could. You know, my friends are starting to do that, so I will eventually start to get them around sets and be in parts. But I have a movie coming out called Frank and Penelope in June. It was written and directed by Sean Patrick Flannery.
Okay. If you don't know Sean, we know. I know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
Little Boondock Saint action.
Yes.
Number one, he's a great dad. A great dad. His boys, a little background. I always wanted to ask Sean if I could say this because he's so humble, but he came out, did Powder. He was like, he's a really, really good actor, but he stopped his career for a year and went and won the national championship in Taekwondo. Right. I'm almost positive that's exactly true. Something of that nature that happened. And then he got back into acting, did all these great things, and then stopped Taekwondo and became a black belt in jiu-jitsu and won the national championship, started his own jiu-jitsu academy in Hollywood. Now he lives in Texas. I think it's Houston. But he's got his little boys are, I think one's a little older than my son, so he's 9 and 7, something like that. They both won the state championship in wrestling.
Wow.
Just recently. So, and just watching him do that, he's like, he's just an amazing father. But so I'm very proud to be part of this movie because he wrote it and his directorial debut. And it's such a fun ride.
Now, is this something that's going to be released? Worldwide in theaters?
They told me that it's in theaters only. It's probably going to be, I don't know if it's worldwide.
Well, you know what I mean? I mean, not like, that's a radio term. It's worldwide. It used to be,
that's how everything used to do. You would get a big theatrical release and then go to different platforms.
Right.
But things are different now.
Tom
and Gary just signed a deal with Plotone. They just signed a deal with Apple TV.
Yeah.
That's one of our movie stars right there. Just signed a deal.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. Netflix. It's unreal.
Yeah.
Well, as with anything, it change is inevitable, and I just see it, not snowballing, but it's evolving. All the industries. I mean, if you look at what movies and TV are doing and going to the streaming platforms, and look at all the just amazing shows that are coming out that they're not even touching the theater. Yellowstone, 1883, all the Paramount Plus shows. And then you got this network doing these shows and it's all on the streaming platform. Radio has evolved into the same thing. Terrestrial radio, AM, FMs in your car are nowhere near what they were at its peak in the 80s and 90s. Now it's, anything you want can be had right here. And same thing with movie and TVs. And I don't live that side of it. I know the radio side, but how do you feel about that, Jonathan? Is that a bad thing for actors the way it's going? Do you see some opposition to change from colleagues in the industry, or is it just are you happy about it?
Well, I had this conversation with Tom Hanks at lunch, and he just said to me, "You can't fight the way the industry is going. You got to go with it." And you got to try to keep up with as much as you can. Don't leave your who you really are. And so Tom's like, I know that a lot of the movies I'll be making, it's going to be straight to streaming. We made this movie. He said, I made this movie Greyhound. We independently financed it and everything. And then we were going to put it out to theaters, but we couldn't put it in theaters because the theaters were all closed down.
Yeah,
right.
And so Apple comes in with this really great deal that, we got everything we wanted and got more views than we would ever have gotten in the theater. So
I think as long as they don't take away the integrity and the quality of what you guys are doing, it's a good thing. I think once they take away the integrity and the quality of the art, then it's not that great.
I'd venture to say that some of these things I've been watching that have gone straight to these platforms, are as good, if not better, than a Hollywood production. But they are Hollywood productions. They're, Hollywood. They're just not throwing it on the big screen.
Yeah, they're still producing things the same, and they get to tell the story a little longer with the limited series. And
yeah, I really dig that.
I would like to be more involved in that, but you can imagine a guy who's been in film for such a long time, you know, doing a part in Ray Donovan, it's hard for me to get. It's really hard. I always wondered, because if I'm just a shapeshifter, but I got to have the vehicle. So if they got to write it, they got to direct it, and then they have to want someone who just is going to embody it. And when you have a studio and a bunch of executives trying to make a decision, and I'm just reflecting this chaos to them, I usually don't get hired because they want someone who can actually do what they need. I'm the guy who can't read textbooks. So, you know, you got to really believe in me, and they got to have a really high vibration like Tom Hanks to hire me.
Well,
it's always happened.
That's a pretty good person to have in your corner, man.
I know, he's great.
I mean, I'm assuming. I don't know the man personally, but yeah. good stuff. Well, man, what's are your kids? Are they sports fans? I'm going back to the whole Baltimore thing. Your kid loves football, you said, but
his name is Camden.
Camden. So okay. 8-year-old Camden, Oriole fan. Baseball's back.
I know.
I'm a Dodger fan. So
me too. I'm a Dodger fan.
All right. Right.
I'm a San Francisco Giants fan.
Damn. So Colin Hanks is a Giants fan.
There we go.
So ever since Playtone, so after that thing you do, they created Playtone. Playtone was the label in that thing you do. They made Playtone Productions, and they have a box right over home plate at Dodger Stadium. So obviously Tom and Rita, all the Playtone family, they work all the time. So guess who got the tickets?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Did you see the news from 2 days ago, at least 2 days ago, as of this recording, whenever it drops, it may have been a month ago. I apologize. We have a lot of episodes in the can, but I digress. Clayton Kershaw threw 7 perfect innings 2 days ago. And then Dave Roberts, manager, yanked him. Thoughts? Would you have let him go 2 more innings to throw a perfect game? Or would you have, I mean, it's conflicting. I get it. It's for the sport, for the health. You don't want to injure him. He's already thrown. He's an older guy. He's thrown over his pitch count for the day, but this is history, man. This is a perfect game. What do you do?
Yeah, I think he's got to keep going out there.
Yeah.
I would put him out there.
Oh, it's a damn shame. Nick.
I would have left him in.
Exactly. Yeah. But, man, did you see his response? He was nothing but class act. He says, look, I get it. You know, this is a team sport. It's not about personal glory. I would have stayed out there, sure, but I'm not upset. I'm not angry. I'm not mad. You know, we won the game, 8-0. They got the win. That's all that matters. So, Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
he was in my community out there in Toluca Lake. And that was one thing I was like, man, I really like to hang. So one of my other Little League coaches, you're not gonna believe this, is Barry Zito.
Oh, Nick, you should know that.
Huh?
That should ring a bell for you. Barry Zito.
Barry Zito.
Doesn't.
Okay.
Hold on.
He only won a Cy Young Award for the A's and then went over to the Giants after that.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Very cool.
Who is the most famous, in your view, person that you have ever hung out with?
Madonna.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, you don't get much more famous than that.
That's pretty gosh darn famous. I mean, Elvis, Michael Jackson, that's right up there with those.
I went on a date with Madonna.
You did a real, actual, full-fledged date.
Yeah.
And how'd that go? Any details you care to share?
You know, I was Diane Dane. So when I did that thing you do, I guess you would say that Madonna was my Diane Dane.
Okay.
So I had a girlfriend that was she was a makeup artist, and I was dating her, and Madonna was just like trying to hook up with me.
No, I get you. I see what you're throwing down there.
Man, you know, I'm really interested. But also, I wouldn't mind working with Madonna. So I went on a date, and I told her I had a girlfriend at the time. So she brought her girlfriend at the time. And we had dinner and then she drove me home. And outside of my house, I made out with Madonna and went back to the house. Yeah.
And there's our clip.
I love it.
I think you are officially the first guest we've had on who has ever made out with Madonna. So you got that going for you, man.
There's only two guys I'm jealous of right now. Jonathan and Brian Hopkins. He made out with Kelly.
Do you know our bud Brian Hopkins?
He was on Saved by the Bell back in the day. He manages us.
Oh, really?
He played Vince Montana in one episode and got to kiss Tiffany Amber Thiessen. So the ongoing joke, every time we introduce him, it's like, dude, here's Brian Hopkins, the man that kissed Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
The former teen heartthrob.
That's right.
Well, tell him I'm really good friends with Elizabeth Berkley.
Okay.
Yeah. She studied in that acting class that I told
her. Oh, very cool.
Yeah. That's man. You've palled around with some of the big players, man. That's pretty impressive. And the fact that you're even hanging out and talking with us, man, again, thank you, man. Totally appreciate it. I this is me still being humble. You know, Nick, I keep saying
back on Twitter, I was like, what? No way.
Twitter's awesome. I love
Twitter. It's about to be owned by Elon. Have you read that news?
What is it going to change? Because I don't want it to change.
Well, I
don't want to have to learn some new way of.
If what I'm reading is correct, I wouldn't say it's going to change for the worse. If anything, all he wants to do is own it outright and make it even freer. So no bots controlling you, no people. Censorship. Yeah, no censorship, no one checking and fact checking, which could be bad. But, you know, overall, he just wants it to be less restrictive. And I didn't think Twitter was too restrictive to begin with, but.
You know. Oh my God. You know what you can find on Twitter? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. All right. I'm going to leave it. We're almost out of time here, Jonathan. I'm going to leave you with one simple final question before we tell everyone goodbye. I need to set it up though for you. Okay. This particular question, as I mentioned earlier, I worked in radio for many, many, many years, and I've had the opportunity to speak with countless musicians and actors and whatnot. And I try to do my best to always ask this same question. And typically, you get the same answer, give or take. But one guy in particular, I will let you know who that guy is after your answer, answered this question more profoundly than anyone in the history of me asking said question. And since then, I've been waiting for someone to match it, top it, whatever the case. So with that being said, it's a simple question. What is one thing you can't leave the house without?
Love.
Oh my God.
Can you a little farther, get a little deeper with that answer?
That's the answer, man.
I think, Nick, we have finally met the questions match.
Equal. Yes.
At least it's equal. Everyone always says their phone, their laptop, their keys, et cetera, which is perfectly fine and normal. But my man, George Thorogood, he didn't even skip a beat. I asked him that question. I says, what's one thing you can't leave the house without? He looked at me and said, kissing my wife.
Oh, same thing.
And you're the first. You are the first. We're talking 8 years now. I've been looking for someone to match that question. Jonathan Scheck, everybody.
71 interviews we've had so far.
You have no idea how happy that has just made me. Can you tell? I get a little excited.
Oh, that is so awesome.
Fantastic. Now, every time I tell this story, there's going to be two guys who answered the question better than I've ever heard it answered before. Wow. And on that note, everybody, you may know him from That Thing You Do and countless other TV shows. One of my favorite, Ray Donovan. And what's the upcoming movie you mentioned?
Frank and Penelope. Frank. Tom Patrick Flannery's film.
That, check him out in that. I guarantee you, Nick and I, or at least myself, will be...
I'll be checking it out.
Yeah, but I don't know if we're going to be checking it out together. Uh-huh. We see enough of each other, you know? But, you know, we'll see.
On the couch.
We're not a film for the kids.
Okay. Yeah. I always do that. Do you let your 8-year-old watch PG-13 movies yet? Yeah, I'm asking. I'm asking you, Jonathan. Do you let your kid watch?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were
If it's a PG-13 flick, do you... Are you strict on that or
no? you know, I went to a theater with a buddy of mine, and our kids were six, and we were watching Marvel movie.
Oh, that's all right, you know, superhero.
And they started crying when one of the guys got beat up. They started to wail.
Oh no!
And I was just like, ugh. We were both like, oh,
whoops.
Whoops, bad dad moment again.
Maybe a couple years from now.
Popcorn, come on.
All right. Actually, before we end this, I got to know, do you let your daughter, does she watch Cocomelon?
Yes.
Okay. What do you, a lot of Cocomelon? Do you limit it?
She loves his Elmo.
Okay.
I mean, she's a
my kid loved Elmo too.
I've got to try Elmo. So we're on Cocomelon. Like I should buy stock in Cocomelon. Every time I go to the store, I have to buy the Cocomelon toys. We have.
That's your own fault, man. You're enabling it.
A living room full of Cocomelon, an 82 inch TV with freaking Cocomelon on the daily. It's terrible.
Yeah. We watch Cocomelon, but really it's Elmo at this house.
Okay.
And on that note, Sesame Street. Grover's my favorite still. He is Jonathan Scheck. Sir, thank you so much for hanging out on Dadcast. We appreciate your time. We will obviously off the air send you an email, maybe hit you up about that thing coming up in July in Nashville. We would love for you to be our guest. Bring the family. Going to be a good time, I guarantee that. To everyone listening and watching, thank you so much. We appreciate you. If you happen to be checking this out on the YouTube channel, like it up, subscribe, do all the good stuff. If you hate it, that's okay, just hit the dislike button. If you love it, give it a thumbs up. If you have a question for Jonathan, you're a fan, go ahead and type it down there. Other than that, thank you all so much again, Jonathan Scheck. Thank you for coming on Dadcast. We will check all of you out next episode. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys.